Man, what a great Sunday already. Isn't it cool seeing all those families up here? Isn't that neat? I love it. One thing I did want to mention, and it actually goes in line with our heart for families, was we did the Heart Gallery. I'm going blank. Was that last week that we did the Heart Gallery? It was last week where you saw the kids with faces. If you were here, they had the local kids that are in need of foster care, and really not so much foster care, but adoption. 27 families signed up to get more information because they were considering adoption out of foster care. Can you give yourselves a hand? That's pretty awesome. Our church just has such an unbelievable heart for people. That's what marks us. You know, we did the Compassion International experience, and we more than doubled what they anticipated we would do with child sponsorship. We had the Heart Gallery, who said we've got more people sponsored here than anywhere in the whole parish, which is more interest in that than anywhere in the whole parish. And I didn't want you to forget is that one of the ministries that we support every month is New Life Counseling, and they reach out to those who are abortion-minded but really don't know what to do, and they literally see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of abortion-minded women every year come through their doors, and the vast majority of them choose life, and they sponsor adoptions and all. It's really cool. In fact, if you're interested in helping us host a shower that we're doing here for those moms that have chosen not, though they were abortion-minded, they have chosen to go full-term and put their children up for adoption, and some of them are keeping them, we're going to host a shower here for them. And if you'd like to be a part of that, or if you'd like to financially help New Life Counseling with that, check that out in the foyer at that table, because our heart is to make a huge impact in the community around us. And let me tell you, we get to do that together. Isn't that awesome? I love it. So I love it, love it, love it. Today we're talking about the tortured soul. We've been in Soul 30 for the last 3 weeks. Really, if you count Pastor Stephen Martin when he was here, the past 4 weeks. And Soul 30 is the tagline is 30 days to a cleaner you. And though that can sound kind of self-helpish, it's really not, because when we intentionally set aside seasons of our lives, moments in our lives, and we say, God, your will be done, not mine, but yours, he shows up. And so last week we talked about the heavy soul. We saw 36 people make commitments for Christ. We saw dozens and dozens of people admit they were dealing with a heavy soul. And my heart is that you can walk in freedom. So today we're talking about the tortured soul. Has anybody here ever been tortured by somebody? Come on. A lot of waterboarders out there. Okay, got it. So the reality is that though we've probably been tortured by someone, it's probably not physically, right? That's not rhetorical. That means you should answer that. Have y'all, maybe you have been waterboarded multiple times, and I'm so sorry for that. I'm sure it's miserable and horrible. Most torture takes place internally, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you're okay with it, first I'd like to share as brief as I can a story about torture that was physical torture. Is that okay? It involved me and my sister. How many of y'all have older siblings that tortured you growing up? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you are the older sibling that tortured the younger ones? Raise your hand. Yeah, I'm going to have to raise that one. That was me. My sister and I, when I was about 11, she was about 8 years old. One of the very first times my parents left us alone together. We lived way out in the country, north of Jennings, and they went to town and they gave us the whole spiel. You know, we're not going to be gone long. You know where the phone is. You know where we're going. It's going to be okay. And like they leave and we're like, yeah. And then immediately we do what we always do, which it seemed was play together and then fight. And so I remember we got in an argument. I don't even remember what it was about. Is it okay for me to tell you all this, by the way? And so I don't remember what it was about, but it just degraded into this shouting match. And I knew, as the pusher of all buttons, I knew what buttons to push on my sister to make her freak out. Now, she was 8 years old and she was little, but she had bright red hair and an even more fiery disposition. I mean, this girl was psycho when you'd ramp her up. And so we're arguing and calling each other's names, and I knew that she hated this one name more than anything else. I mean, she hated this name, and I knew if I called her that name, it would be pushing the crazy button right on her. But I didn't care, because we're in the middle of an argument and we're fighting about something silly, I'm sure. And in the middle of it, she says something to me, and then I call her that one name. Y'all want to know what it is? I said, "Oh yeah, well, it doesn't matter what you think, dog butt breath." And I don't And she went psycho. It's like her head spun all the way around, and then she's like, and she starts running after me. And now we're inside, but I don't have a shirt on because, you know, it's like summer and I don't need a shirt on. So I've got no shirt. And I realize my sister is coming at me like she's like the refrigerator Perry, if we're talking about the 80s when this took place. Like she's coming at me like a linebacker. But the thing was, is that she was armed. You see, my sister was always armed, always armed. She was always armed with at least 10 weapons. And I'm pretty sure she would like file them to points. Well, I see her after I say dog butt breath, she just turns on me. Like it's crazy. It's like psycho's on. I better get out of here. And I turn to run away and she literally jumps on my back and then takes those claws and goes, Hah! And I had 10 bloody, like bloody marks down my back and I'm screaming like, ah! And so I turn around and she's like, ah! And I just say, Julie, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. No, do you really think I said that? That didn't happen at all. I turned around and with every ounce of strength in those 11-year-old fists of iron, I punched her as hard as I could right in the solar plexus. Right there. I punched her with every ounce of energy that I had. And I felt like, I felt like Bruce Lee in that moment, like, And I caught her right there, and she just dropped like a rock, like, ka-dunk! And then she's doing the fish thing, like, because if you've ever been punched right there, it knocks the wind out of you, and she's, and she can't do anything on the ground, because she can't catch her breath, you know? And so, as a loving older brother, I lean down while she's curled up in the fetal position, and I kneel down, I get real close to her ear, and I whisper to her, if you tell mom and dad, I will kill you. You know the truth? She didn't tell mom and dad until she was in her 30s. That's right. But that's not the worst part of the story. The worst part is she goes away, I go away. I don't know where she goes. I'm a little nervous now because I really hurt my sister. My parents come home and they start calling. They see me, oh, where's Julie? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why you're asking me. She's fine. She's good. Nothing's the matter with her. Like, where's she at? They're like, I don't know. They call for her. She doesn't answer. They go in her room. She's not there. They call outside. And then there's this one little room off to the back. It's the guest bedroom. And they go in there and they find my sister curled up in a ball crying. And she's saying that she has the worst headache, this unbelievably terrible headache. Now, my dad is a physician. And so he's like, your head hurts. What happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. I just had this terrible headache. And so he scoops her up, takes her to the hospital, and proceeds to do a spinal tap on her because he thought she had spinal meningitis. Isn't that terrible? I don't know why I'm telling you that story, other than if you've ever been tortured before, maybe this message is for you. The reality is we're not talking about physical torture. We're talking about spiritual torture. What does that look like? In Romans chapter 7, we see what Paul writes. And he says this in verse 15. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. This is torture. I'm saying that. That's torture. I do what I don't want to do. Like, I want to do what's right, but I find myself doing what I don't want to do, and I hate it. Have you ever been there before? It's a miserable, miserable place to be. That is the struggle of a Christian. It is spirit. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to honor you. I want to love you. I want to be an example of what a man or a woman of God can be. I want to do these things. That's the spiritual. We're following you, Jesus. And then there's this flesh that wants what it wants when it wants. And when we give into this, we hate it. If you've given your life to Jesus and you're serving God with all of your heart, man, you want to walk by the Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, that we're to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. But we find ourselves at times living by the flesh and we don't want to do it and we end up hating it. And if we continue down this path, even though we've surrendered our life to Christ, it is a place of torment. And really, That's the struggle. That's the torment. And here it is. It's sin. But it's sin that's secret, that's hidden. And each week, it's been just, at least for me, as we have prayer at 6 a.m. and just really seeking God through this whole season. And it's like each week has been just so fitting. I mean, last week was amazing, just clearly a God moment for so many people. And I look back when 3 months ago or so, we were planning out this series and each of these messages and just going, God, use them. And I pray that today that God answers that prayer that's been for the last 3 months, that we don't live with a tormented soul. 1 Peter 2:11, we see Peter writes, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Have you ever found yourself in the middle of that war where I'm doing what I don't want to do and I'm not doing what I want to do and I want to abstain from sinful desires, but I find myself in this battle over doing this thing that I don't want to do, but I really want to do it? Have you ever been there before? It's torment. It's torment. What is it specifically that tortures our souls? I think there's probably three things. That's what I was thinking at first, then boiled it down to two. Here's the first one. What is it that torments our souls? Really simple. Here's the first one. We're tortured by the things that we've done. We're tortured by the things that we've done. We know when we do wrong. And we hate it. But in the moment when we're doing that wrong, it seems like though we hate it, our desire to do what we don't want to do somehow crazily trumps our desire to do what's right, and we do what we don't want to do even though we really want to do it, and we want to do it so much even though we know it's wrong, we'll do it just because there's some level of gratification or payoff. And then we're tortured by it because it's misery. And in fact, David writes this in the Psalms. He says in Psalms 38, "My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy to bear." Have you ever felt physically ill and broken because of your sins? Have you ever felt just overwhelmed with guilt because of what you've done, that there's this heavy burden? And let me tell you, when you're in this place, you've sinned and you're broken and you're riddled with guilt and it's a heavy burden, let me tell you who it involves. Usually you and only you alone. Maybe one other person, but there's this hidden aspect to it. There's this aspect, I don't want anybody to see my ugly. I know what that's like. And usually the people, if there is anyone who knows, it's usually the people that we know and love the most, the people who are the best in our life, and we end up hurting and wounding them because of the brokenness of our sin. Let me tell you right now, I'm no exception. The most godly, I mean, there's some people in my life that I go, they're some of those godly, amazing people. The top of my list is my wife, my mom. She's truly an amazing woman of God. And probably Marcia Sheck Snyder, who's actually commanding the New Life Counseling table. And then I can look at other people like a Kelly Bigwood and go, these people, like there's Jesus, and there's my wife, my mom, Marcia, and Kelly. That's like, that's the level. And for years, though I absolutely loved my wife, I treated her so poorly. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. I mean, I just remember the many, 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 many times where something would set me off, and it always seemed like it was at the same time. It's always like late at night. and this amazing person that I loved and I cared for, who is full of grace and mercy, something would tweak me out. And I would rage. I mean, rage. And she'd just be up in the bed just crying. Just curled up, just crying. And I'd be standing over her and screaming. Just horrific. And it was, I knew it was wrong. Like in the moment, I'm hearing what's coming out of my mouth. And I'm going, how can I say that? It's like, it was demonic. Honestly, truly it was. There was this anger that was inside of me that manifested in this horrific behavior of just horrible. And I'd apologize and say, I'm sorry. It was almost the end of our, I mean, it was horrific. It was horrific. And I'd apologize, swear I'd never do it again. And then we'd go about our business, go to church and smile and hug. Everything's good. But it wasn't. And it was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing. Let me just say that I did that and I hated it and I hated myself. And that was this weird, there was this weird conflict inside of me. Like I knew that I could do whatever it was I put my mind to. I knew that. Like I knew I could make a 4.0 and I did really well in school. I knew that I could fix anything. If man made it, man can fix it and this man can fix it. Give me enough time and some people that can show me something. I can fix anything. I can do anything. Oh, you need, every job that I had, I got promoted quickly because I was taught, listen, if you want to excel at a job, show up early, be the last to leave, find the person in authority, anticipate their needs and meet all of their needs before they ever ask for them. Man, that works like a son of a gun. It just works really, really well. And so I had this tremendous confidence that I could do whatever needed to be done and that I could excel in every area of my life. And yet there was this whole thing with my marriage that I just couldn't figure it out and didn't realize like how deeply the root of the enemy and the things that I was doing were rooted in lies. And here's what it was. And this is number two, we're tortured. Here's the things that torture our souls. Number one, we're tortured by the things that we do. Number two, we're tortured by the lies that we believe. And let me just tell you that I believed these lies. And here's how it manifested itself. Though I was confident, though I was gregarious and just, I could be the life of the party, that I was the guy that people loved and respected and I could do anything. And like, there was this confidence there. And yet when nobody was looking, my self-talk revealed how deep the lies of the enemy were rooted in me. Because I was never one to curse and just was not a cursor at all. I just don't do that. It's an ignorant mind trying to express itself forcefully. Lacks vocabulary, and so I was not the guy that would curse, and even in my rages that wasn't the case. But leave me alone to myself, and I would curse myself lower than a dog. Nobody around, nobody, nothing. You're an idiot. You're a moron. And just go down the gamut of all of these horrible things that I'd call myself. You're so stupid. How can you be such an idiot? How can you? And you think this, and you, it just. It was revealed, the lies were revealed by the things that were coming out of my mouth. And somehow, some way, those lies were rooted deep in me. And so it manifested itself in the person that I loved the most, this junk coming out of me. Because listen to me, sin always finds a way to come out. And I would apologize and say, I'm just sorry. I know I have an issue. I'm trying to get it fixed. And let me tell you, my mom knew what was going on, which meant my dad probably knew. My pastor knew what was going on. But nobody saw the hidden behind the scenes area. Because there were areas that I'd just be like, well, yeah, it's bad, and I'm mean, and I'm ugly. I'm a jerk. But it was more than that. And it came to the place where I realized that it wasn't just an issue. Do you know what it really was? It was sin. Me wanting my way. Me believing a lie. What is it that tortures our souls? The things that I've done because I've believed a lie. John 8, we see what Jesus says about the devil. It says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, I love this translation. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I bought the lie, and it messed with me bad. And it got me to the place where I was believing that I just had an issue. Well, what's your issue? 50% of men and 25% of women statistically have issues with hidden lust. Maybe you're like me and your issue is you've hated yourself and you believe lies about yourself and it spills over to areas of your life that you never wanted to spill over into and you end up hurting the people that are closest to you. Maybe you're here and your issue is like, I just can't stop eating. I don't even want to, but I really want to, even though I don't want to. I want to, and it's like the don't want to and the want to fight, and I end up just eating things that I know I shouldn't. Maybe it's overspending. Man, every time I purchase something, I click on this, or I go to a store. Maybe it's you've believed a lie, and so you're trying to fill a void, and it's manifested itself in some form of addiction, whether it's substance, whether it's alcohol or drugs or a relationship or sex or whatever it is. What's your issue? Because I can tell you at the root of it, those are just symptoms. All of those that I just named are just symptoms. Here's the root of sin. So, do you believe the lie? My dad was the life of the party, and we often had parties at our house. And one of his favorite games to play, particularly in the winter, was because we weren't outside, we were inside, and we'd have, 10 or 12 people over. My dad would play this game called the blanket game. Anybody ever heard of the blanket game? Probably not. It's a weird game. And he would, I'd just watch him. He'd like, oh, we're going to play a game. But he'd been watching people. And he would pick out one person that he thought he could influence, one person that was maybe a little secure and wanted some validation. And he would pick that person. He'd say, oh, we're going to play the blanket game. What is it? Oh, you'll see. It's really simple. It's not hard at all. And he'd pick that one person. It might be, okay, Karen, why don't you come? You're going to start. So we're in the den. It's like shag carpeting in the 80s. It's left over from the 70s. And he's like, why don't you go ahead and lay down on the ground? I'm just going to put this blanket over you. And the game is really simple. I have a predetermined item that you have that I'm going to ask you just to... So he's put the blanket over. I've already determined what it is. There's one item that you do not need that I need you to take off. And I want you to think about this because it's an item that you really don't need. So I want you to take this off. Hey, I just saw my dad. He's here. Isn't this true, Pop? Not an exaggeration. Is it? Yeah, we played the blanket game. And he'd be like, all right, take off one item that you don't need. And he'd be like, take off a shoe. No, it wasn't that shoe. Oh, they took off the other shoe. No, it wasn't the shoe. Take off the watch. Okay, and they throw it. So they're covered with the blanket. They're throwing this stuff out. I cannot tell you how many people ended up in their underwear in our living room. And their people are killing themselves laughing because this person over there is trying to win the game. They're just doing what they're told, like what's been fed to them. But the reality is, what is it that person doesn't need? The blanket. I cannot tell you how many people would have to, okay, I got nothing else I can take off until you saw like the underwear come out and you're like, oh God, this is getting just a whole nother level. And that person would have to like curl up in the blanket, get up, stand up, covering themselves with a blanket, fussing at my dad the whole time. Chris, I can't believe you made me do this. I can't believe it made me do this. This is terrible. And they're fussing at my dad when they're the ones who didn't recognize that they had just been manipulated and lied to all for the sake of comedy. It was funny. That's how many Christians live their life in shame, covered up because they bought a lie and they hate what they've done and they're tortured. So the real question is, what do we do about that? Well, we're going to have to preach to our souls. Every week you're going to hear me say this. You got to preach to your soul. You're going to have to tell your soul. Here it is. You ready? Two things. Here's the first one. It's better to confess your sins than to hide your sins. How do we deal with the areas of torment, our issues that, let me tell you, that we know that there's sin? It's better to confess our sin than to hide our sin. I will never forget the moment when God showed me truly in a moment of rage. And it's like I was wearing glasses that colored the whole world. And it's like he pulled them off. And in that moment, I realized that it was me. That the problem in our marriage, that I'd been raging against my wife, if she'd just fix this and do this, and if there was this, it was, I realized the problem was me. And I grabbed a piece of loose leaf, and I wrote a letter, just a Holy Spirit, God-inspired letter. It was me. It was me. I confessed my sin, asked God to forgive me, and went to Lisa. That's the two aspects of confession that we have to deal with. Here's the first one. We confess to God for the forgiveness of our sins. We confess to God for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God already knows. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be freed and forgiven from your sin. If you don't deal with that sin, you're going to get sick with sin. You ever had food poisoning? Worst food poisoning I ever had was in El Salvador. I ate at a pupuseria, and I think that's what did it. It was either that or the street food that I bought from some really old lady that was selling Polito, which is this really corn syrupy drink. I don't know which one it was. All I know is it only took a little bit of it to make me unbelievably and horrifically sick, to where I was so sick that I thought, I think I might die. Oh my gosh, I'm not kidding. It was unbelievable. I thought, oh my gosh, I might die. And then I thought to myself, I might not die. This could be even worse. This is what sin does to us. This is, and you know what it was? Just some little tiny thing. Microorganism, bacteria. Confess your sin and you're forgiven. The second aspect, we confess to God for the forgiveness of our sins, but here's the second thing. We confess to people for healing from our sins. James 5:16, very simple verse. It says this: confess your sins to each other and pray to each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Forgiveness only comes from God, but healing comes from confessing to others. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. Come on, y'all gotta say it better than that. Confess your sins to each other, pray to each other so that you may be what? Well, that was good. Healed. Man, I want you to get to the place where there's healing, and it would have never have come to me and in our relationship. And let me tell you, there was still a long, years-long process of walking that out because of all the damage that I was, years-long process of walking that out. But it first came when I realized, man, the issue is within me, and it's sin. It's a sin issue. God, forgive me. Lisa, forgive me. And then I confess that sin. My pastor knew. My parents knew. It was a big deal. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness, but we confess our sins to each other for healing. That's why you need to be in a small group, so that you can get to the place of transparency and trust with each other, so that you have people that can pray for you and you can pray for them, and that there's a safe and secure place where you can confess your sins to each other so that you can walk in healing from the issues. It's really sin junk that marks our life, that torments us, but we can walk in freedom. And here's the last thing that you need to know as we wrap up. I need to tell my soul first thing. It's better to confess my sin than to hide it. And here's the second thing. Christ can set me free. Christ will set you free. Jesus will set you free if you let him. Jesus will set you free. You don't need to beat yourself up and walk in condemnation and feel like terrible, because let me tell you, Jesus has walked through every temptation. In fact, Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God's faithful. He'll not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. He will show you a way out. Do you see this? I know it's not in yellow, but he will show you a way out so that you can endure. He'll show you a way out. And the way out of that temptation, if you've fallen into it, confess to God for forgiveness. Confess to people for healing. You have to know. You have to tell your soul, it's better to confess my sin than to hide it. Jesus will set me free. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you need to hear this today, that this message is for you, that there's some areas where you are convicted. In this moment, there's not condemnation, but you recognize that the hand of God is on you right now, that you know the area where he's pointing out. That's an area of sin, and he's pointing it out today, and he's saying, turn from it. Turn to me. I gave my son on the cross. Jesus' blood paid the price for your sin. Don't ever forget that Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for your sin. He died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to face eternal death. He died on the cross so that his blood would wash away your sins, that there would be forgiveness of your sins, so that you can walk in freedom. You gotta know this. And maybe you're here today and you know God's dealing with your heart, and that there's an area of sin that you need to deal with. Let me just encourage you, confess it to God. Find somebody. Maybe you got to get in a small group. Maybe you need to set up an appointment with somebody. Maybe confess it to God for forgiveness. Confess it to people for freedom. Nobody's looking around. I don't want anybody looking around. Nobody getting up. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message is for me. I know that there's areas of sin in my life that I need to deal with. I want to give you that opportunity right now. If that's you, say, Pastor, this message, I just know that God's dealing with my heart. I got to deal with this area of sin in me. There's no shame or condemnation. But let me tell you, there's freedom when you come to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Say, Pastor, this is me. Raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Here, just keep them raised. Keep them raised. Okay, just look at me. I want to acknowledge you. Turn your eyes. Nobody's looking. I see you. I see you. I see you back here, right here. I see you. I see you. I see you. Yes, yes. Right here. I see y'all. Yeah. 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 I see you. Both of you. I see you. Back here. I see you over here. I see you. Let's all pray together right now. Say, Dear Jesus, I turn from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I turn my whole heart to you. I put my life in your hands. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give a hand clap for some people that are going to be walking in some freedom? Listen, if you raised your hand and I saw you, a couple things. The first one is let us know. Do that through the connection card. There's one in the seat back in front of you that you can put in the offering plate. You can put it in the boxes by the door. You can bring it to the connection center, or you can just fill it out on our app. Let somebody know about what God's doing in your life. That's number one. Number two is this, is our ministry team will be up here at the end of service. Maybe you need to connect with someone right now personally. Every week there's that opportunity. Don't pass it up. I love being your pastor. And I love saying it because it's so true. The best is yet to come. Love you guys. God bless.